who is in business and who knows these, who knows this fellow very well. And I said, yes, as people are saying, what is he complaining about? He worked with $31 million. So my friend said, very well, he says, people don't understand. He says, they think that to have money, what's the desire to have money? To have a good car, to have a good house, you know, I mean, a nice home, to luxuriate, indulge in taifas. He says, that's what people think money is all about. He says, but that's a poor person who looks at money that way. He says, a person that's really involved in these things, is what is the big thing? The big thing is to be at these meetings in New York City, in these plush rooms with the presidents of banks and with the most powerful people that are running the city, and sit down over there, you know, and be involved in this kind of manipulation. He says that's what the guy wants. The money becomes secondary. He says a person that's just a regular worker, you know, he thinks that his problems will be over if he has a few dollars. That momentarily, but that's not really what's satisfying. Says to be part of those big guys, to be involved with those big guys, says that's what the desire is. So he says, this guy, yeah, that's a level. He says, yeah, what, to ride around with a big car? He says, that's not what they want to be. It's a prestigious thing. It's a chashiva sa'odam. And I mean, that's really the type of man. So he says, these guys don't even know what type is. But it happens to be true. It's true. That's really... So it's a funny thing that the Rambam, I mean, it disturbs me why the Rambam used things that, you know, ochel v'shosa, even, okay, sex, you'll say, is a more powerful, perhaps, type, but even that, I mean, these people are not really into that. That's not the... person realized very quickly that all these things are very limited, that the gaiva is limitless. I mean, the fantasy, the illusion of greatness and importance, and he's running the city, running the world. I mean, these are the things that move people. So there's a big question in my mind why the Ram didn't use that as an example. Okay? But anyways, let's take a look at the Pasuk quote. It says, Lulei hemanti liros b'tuv Hashem. So if you take a look at the Pasuk before, what does he say? He says, Al titneni b'nefesh tzoroi. He says, Al titneni... First of all, he says, Hareini Hashem d'akecha, unecheini borach mishor, Laman Shoroi. Okay? So the first part of the Pasuk is very easily understood, which is simply Harein Hashem Dakecha Unecheini Baruch Mishor is very good. Of course, a person wants the true Derech HaChayim because he recognizes that if he has knowledge of how to live, then basically that's the essence. The real enjoyment has nothing to do with other people. It has to do intrinsically with your life. So a person has enjoyment from learning. He has enjoyment from gaining knowledge and truth. That's really essential in his life. And he understands, and this is something that he lives with. And basically, he has life. That's it. Okay? So, I understand that. But then he says, Laman Shoroi. It's interesting. Laman Shoroi means, Laman Shoroi means because of my enemies. See, the word Shoroi is an interesting thing. Why does the word Shoroi mean my enemies? The pasuk says, "What do you call it?" You say, "Mitzvah Shiling on Shabbos." So, what do you say? It says, "The pasuk says over there, Atabeteni Bishuroi." Same thing, Shuroi, Shuroi. What is it mean? What is the idea of Shuroi, Shuroi? Why does it mean an enemy? Okay, where does it come from? So, the word Shur means to look. Bono Sodale Shur. The Bono Sod, they climb in order to see. Shur means to see. Ashureno Veloata. Aren of Lokov, okay, to look at. It's an amazing insight. The Chachma of the Torah is from a word. Why? Because what is David Melech saying, basically? He's saying that why does he have enemies? Because they look at him. They look at him. See? In other words, he recognized the nature of man as such that man is basically a very aggressive type of person by nature. That's what Chazal say. Chazal say, have mispal ba'at shalom malchus. Why? One person would swallow up the other person. There's a tremendous potential for evil in man, but it's kept in check because of different forces. A person realizes there's a malchus, you can't break the law. So really, the truth of the matter is there's a tremendous amount of energy that's into rishis in man, but there are checks and balances that hold it in place, you see? But what is the source of riches? The source of riches is looking, which means that a person looks at another individual and becomes envious of what they have, and becomes filled with hatred and resentment, and they want to destroy them. Okay? What does Paul say? So far Russia la tzadik, mavakesh amisa. What does the tzadik do? Tzadik doesn't do anything. But the Russia looks at him and becomes filled with a hatred and wants to destroy that individual. That's true about an individual, that's true about the tzibor. That's anti-Semitism. That's anti-Semitism. That's what it is. But why the Jew can't exist? The hatred is because they look at the Jew. See? And they know the Jew has something, and they can't stand that Jew, because that's like by Haman. Every day Sok, he ain Mordechai Kareo Mishtachava, that's a Vachol Zaina Shovali. Just the mere existence of Mordechai just destroys him. He can't live. It becomes an obsession. You see. That's really what the pasuk says. Vatabed eini b'shuroi. It means there's one kind of an enemy. Yeah, a person has a machlekes. I mean, okay, everybody gets into machlekes, and that's one thing. But someone who's a real enemy is not the pshati. He doesn't want money from you. He doesn't want this. He wants you dead. Why? Because you exist, and the fact that you exist, it simply destroys him. He can't tolerate it. That's b'shuroi. It means, or what he wants from me is I shouldn't exist, because he doesn't want to look at me and see me in existence. That's why he says, that's why he used that word. So he says, so the pasuk says, Hareni Hashem Dakecho Nacheni Baruch Mishor Laman Shorarai. He recognizes where does this arise, really? I mean, where does this hatred arise? The hatred arises from Derech Mishor. That's what hatred arises from. The moment the Rasha sees that the tzaddik has a good life, and is enjoying life in a way that he could never even expect to, no matter how successful he becomes, he becomes filled with resentment and hatred. An amazing pasuk. I mean, the pasuk is very deep. Hareini Hashem Darkecho Necheini Baruch Mishor is one thing. Give me the right derech, right derech Chaim. But he recognizes the moment that's going to happen, you're going to be in big trouble. Why? Because unless you go out in the woods and become a hermit, which Al Pidin you're not allowed to do, it's an amazing thing. The Ram says, no cheshiva. A person does that, he forfeits Chai Olam Haba. I never understood why. I mean, but why it should be such a severe onesh. I mean, it's a difficult thing to understand. I mean, it's Parish Menatziwa. Parish Menatziwa is Ein Lam Chel Olam Haba. I never understood really what the what's so terrible. A person says, look, I've had it over here with society. Plenty of reasons to say that. So I'll become a hermit. I'll go live in a cave somewhere or whatever, and I'll learn Torah, I'll learn, and I'll, you know, whatever. I mean, spend my day learning, davening, keeping halacha and everything. In lechel gom abal, parsh min atzibor. It's a difficult, I don't understand to this day. Why, I can't understand why it's wrong, because you have responsibility to mankind, you have responsibility to Klal Yisrael, and it's a kind of a kofi tov, I understand it, but it seems to me the onesh, I think it needs some limit as to why you have such a big onesh for something like that. I wouldn't think that's the worst person in the world, somebody that did that. I can understand it very well. But the thing is like this, that the pasuk is saying, Hareini Hashem Darkecho Necheini Baruch Mishor Laman Shorarai. It means, but at the same time, protect me from those who want to destroy me. Because that's going to be inevitable, that's what's going to happen. You see, people don't understand. Why did David HaMelech have so many years on him? It's not simply that he had a bad lot. I mean, he had a rough lot. It's cause and effect. Simple, cause and effect. Because they recognized in him, they perceived in him a certain greatness, that's why they had him. That's why they had him. On the contrary, what is saying to him? It says, he says that, he mentions over there, he says, Etachas avosi sneuni. Means I loved them and I helped them. Ani b'chalosam levushi sok. When they were sick, I put on sackcloth and I was mispala for them. And because of that, they wanted to destroy me. Because that's so for Rosh Latzad. Atabet eini b'shur. That's really what the pasuk means. Very psychologically true and underlying principle. It's true about anti-Semitism, I said, like the klal, and it's true about the yachid. That's why Chazal say in Pesachim that an Amoretz hates a Talmud Chacham more than the goyim hate Jews, because it comes from the same kind of a thing, and he's closer, so the hatred is greater. So that's what it says. Hareini Hashem Darkecho Necheini Baruch Mishor Laman Shorarai. He means to say that the Laman Shorarai means that you should help me in this derech, but at the same time, don't let the enemies destroy me. You see? Now he says next like this. Al tibneini b'nefesh sorei ki komu v'idei sheker v'fei hamas. So it's interesting. He says, what do the enemies want? Eidei sheker v'fei hamas. Amazing. He says, they bear testimony against me which is false. And v'fei hamas means that they say, basically, they project onto me attributes of chamas, of that I'm a chamsan, that I am a robber. The interesting thing that they want to discredit him, basically. Okay, so they want to discredit him. Okay, but fine. But what does this have to do with the pasuk before, and what does it have to do with the next pasuk? He says lulei hamanti leros. Interesting. The tov Hashem beretz chaim. What does that mean? It means according to the Rambam, go to Rambam to this pasuk. It means lulei hamanti leros the tov Hashem. Beretz Chaim, what's the end of the pasuk? It means lulei amanti. If I didn't have this, I'd never make it. Basically, that's what he says, right? In other words, basically he says that if it weren't for the fact that I had the emuna means, like I said, not stone belief. It means verifiable idea. He says lulei amanti liros b'tov Hashem. Beretz Chaim, if I didn't have that idea in front of my mind, I'd be finished. Because what he mentions before. Because the son and because the enemies are come and be Ede Sheker Refei Hamas, and my life is really totally submerged in Tzoros, and the only light I have, Lulei Amanti Liros, B'Tov Hashem, is the concept, that's what the Rambam is saying, of Chayei Olam Haba. I mean, that's what the Rambam is saying, basically. It's an amazing interpretation of the way the Rambam understands the psukim. I mean, it's Chazal basically, but it is very interesting. So what comes out of all of this? I mean, what comes out of all this? It's an interesting thing. You know what? So the kash is stronger now. Why is that? Yeah.
No, because these are just protection for it, in order to deal with the,
yes, that's correct.
Problem.
That's correct.
He doesn't know what it is.
He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know what it is. Doesn't know what it is. Yeah.
So he can hope for it, but now it's just
what? I think what the Rambam means is like this. What the Dovra Melchim is, same thing. What he means is like this. He means to say like this. The same thing as we said before in Chayim She'ini Moyam Mavis. Okay. Which means that there's a Chayim She'ini Moyam Mavis and Chayim She'ini Moyam Mavis. It means to say like this, that what Dovra Melchim was saying, of course he wanted God to protect him, the enemy shouldn't destroy him, but really what he understood is more of that. It wasn't that he, you see, you'd think a person in such a situation, right, would be misspelled, basically, that he shouldn't have the bad situation. Right? And it was these things that are attacking him, these people, these shorroi, should just be gone, okay? I mean, that's what you think he would think. But you see, David HaMelech was deeper than that. David HaMelech knew that, just like the Rambam says before, that Chaim and Mavis are really just part. If a person had a better understanding of the biological system, he'd see that Chaim and Mavis is a joke. I mean, a fool imagines such a thing. But Chaim and Mavis and Chaim, I mean, it's all a cycle, and it's all part of the whole system of nature. And you can't make a change in this. As a person, this desire to change, it comes from a person's fantasy and illusion. But it's all part built into the system, and that's the way it is. See, David HaMelech was saying the same thing. That instead, he knew that the Ashgacha should save him, that the enemy shouldn't kill him. That, of course he was mispar for that. Anybody was mispar for that. But he meant more than that. He meant that this enjoyment that a person has in this world, he says, come be Ede Sheker v'fei hamas. What does that mean? That's what I was thinking about before. That a person's desire really is for recognition. A person might not be a power monger. But still, there's a natural part of man that there's such a thing as a legitimate, at least a legitimate kind of race. He doesn't want bizionos. He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to have a situation where he's degraded by man. I mean, that's something which is disturbing to a human being. So basically, what he was saying, an ordinary person would say, if only I didn't have that abuse, I'd be happy. He knew it's impossible to have such a thing. Just like, and that's like looking for chayin she'ina chareya mavis. There's no such thing, because there's Chaim, there's Mavis, that's the way it is. He saw the same thing in the psychological plane. So therefore, instead of like an ordinary person would simply wish that this weren't here, he understood that's all part of the whole system. That's the part of the psychological system of man. It's impossible not to have the Sholaroid. Okay, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. It's interesting, but in Tanakh it says, "Beiniach Hashem mikol oivav misaviv." I mean, there was a time when he had much, but those are the external battles of war. But internally, what does it say? It says by Mordechai, what is it? Rotzi l'rov echov. So Chazal say l'rov echov v'lo kol echov. So Rabbi Ebenezer says on the spot, he says, because it's impossible to get rid of the envy. So even Talmidei Chachamim in that door, and him, Mordechai saved the whole door, they hated him and they spoke against him, and because it's an impossibility. Rabbi Ebenezer says it's yesha. So David HaMelech, when he looked at this life, and the godless of David HaMelech was his insight in how to examine life and how to align the emotions. That's the whole Sefer Tilm is mentioned many times. Instead of looking at it like an ordinary person would look at it and say that I wish this wasn't here bothering me, he saw that that's impossible. That's like saying I wish there was skiing without getting to the slopes, or without putting on skis. It'd be very nice just to have that feeling when you go down. Right? That's basically why people take drugs. They're looking for the feeling, internal feeling, without participating in what reality demands. I mean, certain external events. I mean, that's really that. But the thing is, he realized this is all part of the system. So you can't. It's crazy for a person to ask for something. This is like a person will say, "I want to enjoy a steak without having to go and make the steak and eat it and chew it." And I just want to. That's a person that lives in an illusion of fantasy. So a chacham recognizes this is the way this is the world you're living in, and you can't take things out and just remove certain things without having other things. You see, I mean, that was the problem with the health in the last 20, 30 years, that people tried to isolate factors in food that give you certain pleasure. Isolate fat, isolate sugar, isolate the different things, different taste factors, so that the food would be tastier. What happened was that the body was destroyed. I mean, you see, the arteries became clogged, and because everything in nature that there's a reason for, and your food is not so sweet because too much sugar is no good for a person, and too much fat is no good, and the types of fat. So the moment you start doing things like that, you try to isolate, you run into serious problems. Same thing is true on every level, really. Same thing is true on every level. The person, the chacham, knows that there's a system here. It's not get rid of this little thing. You have to take a look. That's part of the system. That's part of the structure of man. So therefore, the moment that if the tzaddik is going to say, "I want to be a tzaddik and not have the Russia look at me, you want to destroy me," there's no such thing. In this world, that doesn't exist. That's what he's saying. Okay. So he says, "Lule hamanti liros." But a person has within themselves a psychological desire to have an existence which is satisfying, because that's only normal. There is such a desire. So the desire has to go somewhere. You can't just wish it away. You understand that it's impossible to wish it away. So therefore, what David HaMelech said was basically he gave up. In other words, Lule Hamanti Liros B'tuv Hashem. If it weren't for the fact that I knew that this existence basically is just a temporary state. And for man, there really is a different, as the Rambam says, qualitatively differentiated kind of existence, where it's an existence of chachma, and an existence where by nature is qualitatively different. You see, it's not this existence without this problem, without that problem. That's a fool thinks that way. This existence over here, by definition, has to have these problems. That's exactly what he's saying. Lule Amanti Liros B'tuv Hashem. If I didn't have that, then I wouldn't be able to make it. In other words, if I were foolish enough to believe that this existence is the only existence, for man, so, or if I were foolish enough to try to think of an existence like this one without the problem, then it wouldn't be worth living. I mean, I couldn't make it. I simply could not make it, because it's nonsensical. It's nonsensical, and it doesn't satisfy me, and I realize that you can't have one thing without the other in this existence. So he says, but a person has to have a psychological desire for the good. So where was his psychological desire for the good satisfied? It was satisfied by the previous Rambam. by the concept of an Olam Haba. It's not an attraction to, like an attraction to something physical. It's the concept, the idea that there is an existence, that the human mind can perceive such a thing, that there is an existence which I can't give a mushel for, but my mind can perceive that it exists. You see, that idea, that concept in Yahadus, that's really the concept. What is Yedias Hashem? Yedias Hashem, the Rambam says, man of all negative knowledge. It means to say, the only thing you know is that God exists. Okay, but minus everything but a person's senses, when a person reaches level, he minuses out all the things that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah project, all these things, he comes to a certain realization of an existence which he can't know, and somehow or other, I'm not going to go into that right now, but somehow or other, he realizes that that is more real than anything that he's ever seen. You see? That's a different kind of perception. That's exactly what he says over here. The Rambam is saying that when David HaMelech analyzed life and the problems, he wasn't like a fool that said, I wish I had this, I wish I had a house with a roof that never leaks. I mean, you have a house, you have a roof, it's going to leak. That's impossible. But he said he simply removed himself completely from this. This existence became something which he recognized, it's a chayim sheyesh imam avos. That's the way it is. This is the kind of existence. Don't try to change that which you can't change. Okay? But where do you direct the energy then? But you have an energy. A person wants the good by nature. The answer is, was directed to the previous Rambam. That's how it was satisfied. That idea, and it makes sense that the whole chayi olam hazeh, as difficult as it is, but because the soul engages in chachma, the soul reaches a different level. And that can, and this is simply what the Chazal say, that this world is only a prosdor, which means, and there's a different kind of an existence far superior. When he understood those ideas, basically, then he was satisfied. So it's an amazing thing. He meant basically the idea of the Rambam of Perek Ches Halacha Vav is the way that David HaMelech resolved the problems that every person has, I mean, in this existence. Of course, on his level. I mean, he had different kind of problems because it's a different kind of level. Every level of existence has its own problems. But his level brought him into serious difficulties. And the way he resolved it was not by denying the individual aspects of life, but recognizing that's all part of this chayim over here. But this chayim over here is very worthwhile. Essentially, why? Like Chazal said, like a prisoner, because it brings you into a different kind of a thing. And ultimately, there's an ultimate good for man, because God would never create man in a way that he has an existence that is not worthwhile, because that would be a lack in God as a creator. So he understood Chochmas Hashem insofar as creating man in the real way, in the true way, and then he was very satisfied because he saw that God really created man in a way that makes sense. So what bothers a person is not so much tzaras is one thing. I mean, tzaras, I always say it's not the tzaras, it's just the psychological, the tachana, the psychological aspect. What are one of the things that psychologically bother the person? The injustice. I mean, the injustice that doesn't make sense. These are the things that people, you see, when people have tzaras, unfortunately, nebuchadnezzar, tzaras that are very difficult tzaras, they always ask this question. I mean, why they ask this question? Because that bothers a person more than the tzar itself. The person doesn't have any answer. It's like it's unfair. I mean, why should this happen, you see? So that's what David HaMelech says, basically, that's only for a person who doesn't really have the idea of Torah, the idea of Torah, the idea of Chochmah. For them, it looks unfair. A person has the proper perspective, they see the contrary. That this existence is really a very small part. I mean, in terms of time, it's almost absurd. If a person thinks of the time of the universe and time of the human's existence, it's like a speck. I mean, less than an insect lives in terms of human time. Okay? So really, he means to say is like this. That when he thought over, that what bothers a person is the fact that the life doesn't make any sense. I mean, what did one of the greatest psychologists one time said? Sigmund Freud. He said, this senseless existence. Senseless. Doesn't make any sense, because you look through a person's life, you see how many tsaras they have, and how little satisfaction. Most Chachamim say that. Einstein used to say very, when they want them to join the anti-smoking campaign, so he says, no. He says, people, there's very few enjoyments in life to begin with, and now you want me to get people to get another enjoyment? I'm not going to join you. That was at that time. They didn't really know about the health aspects. So he says there's few enough pleasures. Life itself doesn't offer too many pleasures. The person as a chacham sees right away that this kind of existence doesn't make any sense, because the person is mostly frustrations, and wherever you go, you always have problems. I mean, like I said, if you want to be a hermit, then a hermit has no problems though. I mean, it's not easy to be a hermit. Not to talk to anybody, not to associate, then you have other problems. There's no way out, okay? So basically what bothers a person is the senselessness of human existence. It doesn't make any sense. The Rav mentioned many times. I think one of the articles just so recently also is the same concept, that a person's frustrations are many, and if you take into view the psychological nature of man and the physical reality and the social reality, forget it. I mean, the problems in life are, that's what Chazal say over there. They argued for how many years? B'sham b'sul, mutavon shalom nefer, nivra finally nivra v'gamer, that's it. But when David Amal says, when he reflected on the concept, the true concept of human existence, that basically this is an existence where it's true, it's very true that the difficulties are tremendous in terms of the psychological, but that's they're only tremendous because you think that that's the good. You're attached to the wrong good. You're attached to a psychological good. You're attached to a physical good. And as long as you're attached to it, you're always going to have kashas, because this is it. How come it's so miserable? You see? But what David HaMelech was saying was, but if you have a different concept, namely, you look at the whole scheme of the creation of man, not in terms of this Chaye Shoah, but in terms of Chaye Olam Abah, Chaye Olam, a Chayim that's Enimom of us, so then what happens is the picture becomes totally different. You have a different picture. You have a giant quantity of Chaye Olam Haba and a very small little quantity of Chaye Olam Hazeh. And the Chaye Olam Hazeh is simply a prisoner to enter into the Chaye Olam Haba. So it means then it makes sense. So life makes sense. That's what the Rambam says. All the things and all the enjoyments and the pains and all these things are like minuscule compared when a person recognizes that, on the contrary, the fact that he recognizes that there is a good that's incomparable and qualitatively differentiated and makes this whole existence appear very small, good, bad, or otherwise, not really that important. See? Not really that important. When a person has a perspective like that, so then life makes sense. Life makes sense. Life makes sense to him, and on the contrary, the desire for the good is transmuted into a desire for a good for man, a chayim she'eni mamavis. On an intellectual, he becomes attached to the intellectual idea. Because his chachmas, and because his chachma drives him into that path, he becomes attached to this intellectual idea, and he feels extremely happy about it. He feels extremely happy about it, and therefore, that's the possible. Lulehem manti liros betuv Hashem. If I didn't have that concept, if I had like the average person's mentality, I couldn't make it. Because the average person simply is involved in something which is inherently impossible, inherently frustrating. He was too great a chacham. Yosef Das Yosef Machov was too great a chacham to be fooled by most people. They're fooled by the next 5 minutes. I mean, this is going to happen soon. That's there. They keep going and going and going. That's it. So he says he was too much of a chacham to live such an existence. If I didn't have that, Beretz Chaim, in a land of real Chaim, I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't be able to make it. So that's exactly what the Ram means. And the Ram means that's the Chama Koma David. It's a different kind of a Koma, different kind of a desire. It's not a desire like a person sees something and desires it. It means that by definition, a person desires the truth. And a person has a desire to understand the Chachmas Hashem and to make sense out of life. And once you have that and you recognize that life does make sense because there is conceptually he can understand it. A person can conceptually understand that there's something that he can't compare something to, and he has the idea of the good. That kind of a thing is where the energy is driven into a totally intellectual phenomenon. That's what he's talking about. When the energy is driven into the totally intellectual phenomenon, then he felt good. Then he felt good. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. Okay? It's really an intellectual perception where the energy is directed to. It's a different kind of a phenomenon. It's hard to describe it because, again, even that is hard to describe. But man is capable of such a thing. Man is capable of such a thing because the energy has to be channeled somewhere, so it's channeled into the concept of Chacham. That's basically what he says. Okay. The only thing I will say, I'll give you some kind of an answer, that the answer of how a person can have a desire for something that is intellectual, I could perceive something which is not, that's not just a phenomenon over here, it's a phenomenon in science. Okay, it's a phenomenon in science too. I'll just give you an analogy. I mean, in the world of science, a scientist perceives, like Einstein said, that if you're involved in the chachma of science, you see that you're the tools of the mind are very, I forget the exact languages, are very gross. I mean, they're not capable. They're inadequate. They're inadequate and primitive against the universe, which is such fine-tuned chachma. You realize that your brain and your mind against that is like not up to par to challenge and to understand, and you'll never be able to really grasp it because it's too fine for the tool that you have. Okay, so you see, a person can perceive that which is not. All science is that way. One scientist make a breakthrough, and they see, they say, a person can sense there's more over here. How does he know? If he knew it's more, so he'd have to know what it is. So he'd know what it is. No, a person can perceive. When he studies Chachma, that he could sense the doors are opening up over here. The mind can sense the existence of something. It doesn't know what it is. I mean, that's basically how does a scientist move ahead? He senses just like this. There's something more of it. How does it? Asura no ve'eres amara agod lazeh. Madua lo yivar asneh. I mean, that's the way the pasuk defines the exact same experience as Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? What is it? I don't know. But he says there's something here. Asura no ve'eres amara agod lazeh. I can see this. There's something more over here. Something. It's an inner sense that a person has, an intellectual sense. You see it in science, but that's the same thing over here. So I'm not giving you a logical answer. I'm just showing you by way of example. It's the same thing over here. Lule amanti liros b'tuv Hashem, the same kind of thing. The chayam aboy, you can't know it in the sense of experience or imagination because there's nothing to compare it to. But a chacham can sense its existence in a certain way, even though he doesn't know it, he gets sense of its existence through his mind and through his intellect and channel the energy to that type of a thing. That's what it is. Okay? So I'm giving you an answer by way of analogy from Chachma. Why? You see, again, it's the same way that a person recognizes God. Because how does a person recognize God without any... Let me say that. What does Ram say? B'shoshim is bonein odom. When you see infinite Chachma, you sense the existence of an infinite source of Chachma. It's how do you sense an infinite? You don't know what it is, but a person can sense there's an intellectual intuition that man has as part of the Tzelem Elokim, an intellectual intuition. He can sense there's something here. He can't explain how it works, but a scientist knows when he solves one problem, he senses there's five more there's big problems coming up. Just a second. There's a whole new world over here that I know must be that I can't define what it is yet. Okay? But I know it's there. That's why it's drawn there. Otherwise, it'd never go there. It'd say, I don't know. This is crazy. I don't know the answer. The same manner a person perceives the existence of God. Exact same manner. He sees there's a source of Chachma, and he senses and he moves. Like Ron says, he moves towards that. It's an intellectual kind of intuition which man has, intellectual intuition, which man has from itself. That's what it means. Vayipach, the pasuk say, Vayipach, behalf of Nishmas Chayim, is a different kind of, that's the Tzelem Elokim. Okay, now Sodom Tzalmeinu, I mean, that's the Tzelem Elokim. So, with that Tzelem Elokim can perceive a lot of things that it knows it can't know from any kind of physical example. But no, it can sense it. And therefore, the frustrations of life by David Melech were not expressed like an ordinary person does to try to undo the particulars, but it was channeled away to a different kind of a perception, and that's where he found the satisfaction. See? That's what the pasuk means. No. It's on both. Of course, he's misspelled for the particulars as well. A person would have to be crazy. That's a crazy monk. He can't escape reality. So no, a person who is misspelled to God should be misspelled for particulars. For particulars. Altanini ben Efesh sorry. Plain shot. Altanini ben Efesh sorry. It's an interesting thing. If you take a look at Altanini ben Efesh sorry, what's the shot of Altanini ben Efesh sorry? Altanini biyad sorry. Biday sorry. What's Altanini ben Efesh sorry? It's a very interesting thing. What is that? What? He says, Plan Jarash says, but Taivas Sonai, Rios Taivosum Miskayemas alike. After any, but Taivas. So Nefesh means, again, that goes back to the same idea, that they have an insane desire to destroy me. That these means power for that desire shouldn't take place. But there's another pshat, of many Nefesh Sorai, where is it? One in Farshim say it's Adam Matsuda says I think it was. He says the name of Nefesh Sarai Lahasig Bitavosam Ritzonam. Oh, I'm sorry, Laman Sharoi, and the passage before Laman Sharoi. What is it? Laman Sharoi Ki Kishakosho Bedarke Hashem the Enashalov Yismuchu Sharoi the Yomru Yedeim Rama. See. So it means to say, that is an interesting thing. I mean, it means to say that a person could even be misspelled. You have a pentasmachna benozarel. I mean, in other words, a person could even be misspelled for that not only the enemy shouldn't destroy him, but the enemy shouldn't be victorious over him. Apparently, a person, as I said before, and I said, in other words, apparently a person can be misspelled for that too. We're going to say, what do you care what he? But insofar as a person is a psychological being and that does bother him, he has the right to be misspelled if that shouldn't happen also. Correct, yeah. Yeshiva Shorota. It's a Yeshiva Shorota. Yeah. That's right, that's correct. It means, that's correct too. A person should be misspelled. Is misspelled. Matter of fact, tefillah essentially is for that. Of course, what does Chazal say? Chazal called tefillah chayesha. The Gemara says, "Well, what are you misspelled for?" It says it's chayesha. It learns chayo. So tefillah is associated with chayesha because the person is misspelled for things in this world. The person, we recognize this world and we use chachma, and the person wants to remove impediments and difficulties, and that's ultimately even never show it. Plain shot. But he says, in spite of that, Lule Amanti Liros, but to Hashem, I couldn't make it because I wouldn't have anything to. I couldn't attack even if God doesn't allow them to destroy me. After any benefic sorrow, but still, this existence without the concept, the true picture of Olam Haba, he wouldn't be able to make it. Yeah. Okay, that's the Rambam. Yeah, he says. Basically what the Rambam is saying, he brings up the same idea, where he says, Lamachakelo means the person that's waiting for it. Again, the same idea. It means Chayel means Machake. A person should be Machake for Chayel Amaba. Why? Because a real Chacham, that's the way it is. He really sees that this world, with its pleasures and its pains, is not something to be too excited about. I mean, it's something like the Rambam says, a person should have an even keel on the person should never think that the biggest times in this world are very exciting, and he shouldn't think in his mind that the worst things are the most terrible things. You have to have a certain perspective. The perspective is, a different perspective about this existence is what leads to a happier existence right here. Happens to be that once you have that perspective, then on the contrary, then you have a better life over here. The funny thing is ironic, but that's the way it works. The more the person invests time, and that's really the psychological mistake of this society. The psychological mistake of this society thinks that if they really get involved in the self, they'll be able to solve the problems of the self. But that is works just the opposite. The more involved they get, the more problems they get, and the involvement itself makes the problem. The only way is to have the perspective, the correct perspective. Yasa la machakelo. The correct perspective is the machake. If the person doesn't have machake, if he's not machake for the chayon, he has no recognition of it, then he lives a senseless existence. Senseless existence is he won't partake of chayon abo unless he has the proper perspective and understanding. So chayon abo is a double phenomenon, Yahadis. On the one hand, the person recognizes that he can't have any knowledge of it whatsoever. On the other hand, it's something which is his greatest goal. Sounds impossible, but basically that's what happens. Okay. So the Rambam says that in this life, we only are misava for Taivas Agof. For Taivas Agof, that's what misava. But the Tova, that's Gedolad Ma'od, that's the real good, is Ein Lo Erech B'Tova Solam Azeh, Elo Derech Mashal. You can only use a mashal to describe what this kind of you see, he doesn't call it enjoyment, you notice. He calls it a good. What this good is, in other words, the good of the tzaddik after he dies, he says there is no way to describe it, only through a mashal. Avo b'derech ha'emes. There's no way that you can compare the good in this world for the guf. In other words, the guf has certain activities that are good for it, and there's no way that you can make any type of comparison in between the two, because they're qualitatively differentiated. In other words, you can't multiply the benefits or the goods or the pleasures of Olam Hazeh in order to give you, no matter how you multiply, you're never going to arrive at the Tovas Olam Haba, because it's a different category, it's qualitatively differentiated. So that's what the Rambam says. So he says, Ve'ein lo erech v'dimyon, Hu shama David, morav tuv asher tzafanta l'reacha. So what does the pasuk say? Morav tuvcha asher tzafanta l'reacha. In other words, what he's saying is that David said, the way he expressed it is very strange. I mean, he expressed it like a question. More Rav Tufa. It's like, you can't talk about it. It's like, more. Like, how unbelievable it is. There's no words to describe the good. Okay? And he says, yeah. Okay? Yeah. Correct. Okay, so he says the only thing he says derech mashal is okay, and then he says ein lo erech v'dimyon. So that would seem to be a contradiction, because dimyon is like a mashal. Okay, he says only derech mashal, but he says ein lo erech v'dimyon. Doesn't that sound like some sort of a contradiction? You understand that? And the Ram says el atova gedola elo osa atova gedola arein cheker. Cheker means you can't investigate, logically study and uncover what it is. Well, the tfunaso in cheker, God's tfuna, is there's no way to, for a human mind, to really get down to the bottom of God's chachma. It's impossible. It's ein lo cheker. You can pursue it, but you'll never arrive at the final formula. What the physicists are looking for, the final formula for the universe, cannot arrive at. It's impossible. Man is not able to do that. Okay, that's cheker. But what is dimyon? So that means through a logical analysis, process of a logical analysis, with the greatest human mind, you'll never be able to arrive at what Olam Haba is. But then he says, but dimyon won't work either. But mashal will work. I would say mushal. I would say mushal. Let's take an example. You need a mushal, Ariel. So the thing is, I would say that mushal would be like, let's say you have, I would use for an example, Plato's den. Okay, the Plato's Republic, where he has the mushal of the den. And the Rambam says in one of his letters, Divrei apalton amukim umeshulim. He says, you know, He liked the mashal that he uses. I would say he was referring to that mashal. That's a mashal. That's a fantastic mashal. And that mushel is where he shows you how people are sitting in a cave, and they're tied, they're bound, and they can't move, and they see a wall, and there's a fire in back of them, and between the fire and the people, there's a pathway. And people and different types of animals and figures are walking on that pathway. So the fire casts a shadow on the wall, and they see the shadows. And all their lives, all they could see is those shadows. And then they start learning things about properties about the various shadows, because after all, you know, the ones that pass between the fire and the people that are bound, there are going to be certain general properties after a while, because they do have properties, and these properties are going to be reflected in the shadows, and the people who watch the shadows, after a while, they'll be able to make certain deductions from what they observe in the shadows. Okay, so he says, but if one of these people should get free and should turn around and should see what the cause of the shadows is, they would have a totally different perception of reality. In other words, their whole reality to them was always these shadows. That's what they thought was real. But now they turn around, they see the cause of the shadows, it's like a new world would open up for them. Okay? And then he says, if this person would further escape from the den and would go up into the real world and see the sun, so he says at first he'd be blinded because his eyes wouldn't be used to the sun, you know, but then after a while his eyes would become accustomed to the sun and he'd see the real world and he'd understand the whole picture, in other words, like all these figures that are walking between the fire and the people, where they come from and what their nature is, and he'd see their whole understanding, the whole framework of the real world. You see, and then he says, and then he adds, he says, and if that person would go down back into the den, so because his eyes became accustomed to the light, he wouldn't be able to see in the dark. And he'd sit down among his fellow prisoners, and they would see that he's unable to detect the shadows anymore. And then they would conclude that, you see, it's a bad thing to go out of this den, because you lose your ability you lose your knowledge and your ability to discern the shadows. He says, and they would say, anyone that goes, no one's allowed to go out of it, no one's allowed to get out of here, because you don't want to be harmed. So he says, that's the same idea. He equates that to the fate of the philosopher. That the philosopher is the one that became free, and then he sees a different world, and he acts in a different way, and he even loses his ability to act properly in certain basic social situations or basic situations where people just they are very adept and skillful, and he lost this because he saw the real world, and that's why he says that's why people condemn philosophers. I mean it's a beautiful mushel. I mean the Navi calls Nevi'im Meshuga. Why? Because people think he's crazy because he has no concern for what they're concerned about. They don't understand that he's in a different world. And to him, so he saw the sunshine and the whole of existence. And therefore, to him, these things are unimportant. They think he's just being foolish. It's a beautiful mushel. But I would say, I'd borrow from that mushel, I would say like this, that if a person would say that Olam Haba, vis-a-vis Olam Hazeh, would be like that guy that got out and saw the real world. In other words, that it is so different, it is as different as that. You see? That would be considered a mushel. That's okay. You know? I think the Rambam uses a mushel in the Pirush Mishnayos, where he says, just like a blind person doesn't know what color is, he says, so too a person can't know what Olam Haba is. And a person that has been introduced to the world of light and color, okay, it's a different, completely different world. All right? So that's you could use a mushel like that to show what Olam Haba really is. That it's something that is qualitatively differentiated, and you could show Derech Mushel
that the you know that the mashal could show the way that it's qualitatively differentiated. That's what the mashal could show. Because the thing is, because by nature we believe in what our senses and our emotions tell us. So that's why this life has such a heavy value, because it's something that we see and we experience and we feel emotionally, and that's why it gives us a certain sense of reality. And we're rooted in that sense of reality as if this is the ultimate situation of reality. That's why all of our bars are a very hard thing for us to envision. I think the Rambam, doesn't the Rambam give a mashal, I think, in the Marna Vochum about the embryo and the child, how everything that takes place in the womb is really so different than what a person experiences once they're born. If embryos would be able to converse, they would say, and you tell the embryo, now you're going to be leaving this place, you're going to be leaving the water that you're submerged in, you know, and the very lifeline is going to be cut, and you're going to have a different kind of existence. They'd never believe it. I mean, it sounds wild. So he says if embryos would be able to converse, they would say it is absurd. And you explain to them the life on the outside, they would deem it completely absurd. So that's a mushel. In other words, because the mushel shows you really what it gives you an example of something that is real, and yet it's qualitatively differentiated, and yet it's something that your experience can relate to. It's a qualitative differentiation that your experience can relate to. So therefore, derech mashal, you can't present olam haba, because you can show that there is a reality to the concept that although an existence can be qualitatively differentiated, it can be real. So you should not be fooled into thinking that olam haba is not real, because you're rooted in the effects of the experiential of the physical. That's basically what the Rambam is saying. See, that would be considered a mashal. Dimyon would be like an example. Like a dimyon would be where you take something and you say that it's like this. Okay? It's just like this experience, you see? It's similar to this experience. Like, for instance, if you would say, well, what is olam haba like? It's like enjoying learning. Okay? You say that. So he says, it's like enjoying learning. You know how fantastic it is when you see a svara, you see an idea. It's an unbelievable experience. That's what it's like. See, that the Rambam says is not legitimate. Because as great as that experience is, it still is rooted in the physical, psychological, maybe. It's a psychological kind of thing. So there is no dimyon if a person would say, well, that's what it's like multiplied 100 times. You see? That would be wrong. That would be dimyon. Dimyon is when you take something and you say it is like this experience, but not to the degree, or even no matter what. In other words, if you say it is like a certain experience, no matter what qualifications, you see, and no matter what conditions or qualifications you place on the example, you will never be able to present it. That approach is not valid. The approach is not valid. Reminds me of the approach is not valid. But mashal is okay, because through mashal you could show. Right, by mashal he means you can just say. By mashal he means you can demonstrate the basis for the reality of the existence of such a thing. But you cannot use anything, any type of experience, to liken it to that experience. That's dimyon. Okay, that's dimyon. But mashal is different, because through mashal, what you're doing is, you're just showing that you're giving an example of its possibility, at least possibility for it to exist. I mean, you see, of course, what? That's correct. It's like negative knowledge. Like negative knowledge. That's correct. That's like, you know, yes, it's relating it to something within your experience. That's correct. It's relating it to something within your experience. Yeah, just like so. In other words, the mashal can be used to show the justification for its existence. Okay, but dimyon is impossible because dimyon means that what you're doing is more than that. Basically, you're comparing it to a certain experience. All right. See, I mean, as I know, I mean, one time a parent confronted me because they said that I was teaching their son that the schar in olam haba is in other words, you don't really get something else in olam haba. That's you don't get repaid in olam haba with something else. You know, it's trying. An external reward, like you know. So I said. There's an old mushel that they used to say that they had a few people. They asked them, "What do you want to know about this person?" Said this, another person said that, you know. And a third person, he said, "All I want is a shtender, a gemara, and a candle." You see? So I said, "That's what we're saying. We're saying there's nothing, you know, that there's nothing." You don't need to have any anything else as a reward. This is the reward. You see, this is the reward. So you accept this, and you're right. So I show that that's a higher level of understanding than saying you're going to get something chiluf, you know, as a replacement for what you have here. But the truth of the matter is that that is illegitimate. Also, that's what the Rambam is saying. That would be dimyon. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, sometimes you have to use them in order to raise a person to a certain level, at least get them out of the most base idea, which is it's chilaf. Chilaf is the lowest idea. It means that God is making you learn Torah and do mitzvahs so that will give you something better. That's the lowest idea. So the candle in the shtender is in the Gemara, it's good, but the Rambam is saying that on a realistic plane, that even that is not valid. Now you should never try to approach it in by any direct representation, no matter how many stipulations you make, and try to differentiate with your example, the whole approach is wrong. That's what he's saying basically. But mashal is different because mashal can give you an example from experience. That will give the credibility, give you the credibility of its existence. Okay. In other words, when he says tzaddikim yoshim atrosayim barashayim v'nena mizivas shchina, so the atrosayim barashayim is a mashal, but over there it's a different kind of a mashal. No, we're talking about what he's telling you is that they have knowledge. Atrosayim means it's using an expression to tell you that they have a certain knowledge about the self. Well, that's what we went through, what that knowledge is. The knowledge of themselves and knowledge of external knowledge and knowledge vis-a-vis their own existence stuff. All right, now take a look what he says next. Next comes a funny thing. V'chama koma David. I see, put the comments in. V'chama koma David is ave l'chai elam haba. Okay, shenema, lulei hamanti liros. B'tuv Hashem b'aretz chayim, so I wouldn't be able to make it. Okay, we went through the list now, right? So the psukim, right? They say the psukim. What? It means that was right. Anyways, but he said basically what he's saying is like this: that lulei amanti liros b'tuv Hashem b'aretz chayim. If I wouldn't have that kind of a knowledge, so then I wouldn't be able to exist. In other words, basically we said last time that chay olam haba is not just something. You see, we know the Torah never tries to influence people to do things because chayal mabal. And that I explained many answers for. My explanation was because that would imply chiluf. That would clearly imply, since the Torah is written b'lashon b'nei adam. So if the Torah would have said Leman Yarichon Yamechal Olam Shekula Aruch, openly, without, it wasn't a word, the drasha was just an open statement, all of the, you know, just throwing all the mabah in front of people and telling them that's why I have to keep mitzvahs, then you'd never have perfection. Never have perfection because of the fact that then people will be doing mitzvahs for chiluf, and chiluf is wrong. So you have to do mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs are for the good. Are for the good. Now a minor good is this world, which Ashrecha v'tovlach, Ashrecha b'olam hazeh, v'tovlach b'olam hazeh. The Derech HaChayim of Torah is the best possible existence in this world. But what David HaMelech said, even that best possible existence would not be enough, because even under the best terms, it sounds like Sadi Gaon, what Sadi Gaon says, that even under the best terms, the amount of frustrations and tsar and tsaris that a person has in this world, which is inescapable, would not justify even the enjoyments of the greatest tzaddik. Okay? Even the enjoyments of the only guy. Still wouldn't, the only guy inside his room enjoying himself constantly, still wouldn't justify it. Why? Lule amanti liros, betuv Hashem, be'eretz chayim, if it weren't for that, I would never be able to maintain in my mind that life is really worthwhile and just. So what David HaMelech is saying over here is that Olam Haba is not simply something. We don't use Olam Haba as a lure. That, of course, forget about. But what he's saying here, he's opening up a whole different dimension here. What he's saying here is to say that life without Olam Haba makes sense is equally wrong. That Olam Haba is really something that's necessary. Now the question, I guess, you see, I really should have raised it in a question form, right? But actually part of the answer is slipping out. But I really should have followed a more of a dialogue form. Now, the question is that when now the Rambam says V'chama koma David, how much David desired Olam Haba, so the question is, how could he desire it? If there is no Erech, there is no Cheker, there is no Dinyon, so therefore, how could you desire something that has no Erech and no Cheker and no Dinyon? It just doesn't make any sense. Do you follow? That is the question. First he tells you there's no Erech, no Cheker, no Dinyon. Then he says, V'chama koma David, how much he was looking forward to Chayei Olam Haba. Chayei Olam Haba. So it would seem to be a contradiction, right? Okay, what's the answer? You'll say that why did he want Olam Haba? Because he wanted a greater knowledge of God. He wanted a greater knowledge of God. But the question is that you're saying there's no dinyon. I mean, there is no dinyon to any time you, any idea you enjoy about God is simply a physical, psychological kind of enjoyment. So why should you desire to have anything more if the more is something you can't really relate to? You don't know what it is. Now you have to desire something when you have no concept of what that experience is going to be like. I mean, so because somebody tells you it's better, it's qualitatively differentiated, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? That's the question. So you could say, you could give two answers there. You could say, yes. The simplest way to answer this question is as follows. That the Rambam says in Perek Asiri, he says that what is the definition of Lishma? Why does a person do things? What does a person do, act according to the way of Torah? Okay? So the Rambam says very clearly, he says, not in order to inherit the good. Okay? That's what it says, Maila Zui Maila Gadola, the Inko Chacham Zohala. The Malas of Ramavinu. Okay? So what does it mean? What does Ram mean? The Rama means that the person that's really on a high level, all his energies are steeped in searching for the emes, searching for the truth. Okay? God is the ultimate truth. course, he's the ultimate reality. Everything else is an illusion. So the thing is, basically, what I would answer, a very simple answer, that why that's the mile of the tzaddikim. That's what the Rambam says. The mile of the tzaddikim is that they are only interested in the truth. Now, since they know that ultimately in Olam Haba is that's where the ultimate truth is, so they're drawn to Olam Haba because of the love of truth. In other words, the person is overcome with the love of truth, and he knows that that's where it's at, so he's drawn to that like a magnet. Okay, so therefore, you understand. So that would explain. You understand? That would explain why David HaMelech wanted the Olam Haba. I think the Rambam, as a matter of fact, says that, expresses it that way. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Thanks. Yeshker. Yeah, Shmini Aleph. He says that the good is Kadesh Shelo Naso Kol Yameinu Bidvarim Shaguf Tzorach Lahem Ela Neishef Pinuyim Lilmod B'Chochma V'Lasos HaMitzvah Kadesh Nizke L'Chaye Olam Haba. That's what he says. There was it. So he says, Tata Sasri. Over here he says, right, Kadesh Nizke L'Chaye Olam Haba. And over here he says that a person shouldn't say open contradiction between Tes Aleph and Yud Aleph, right? Yeah, but the answer is that's what we explained. The answer is that if you're doing it because you want Olam Haba as a compensation, so then of course that's Shalom Shema. But if the person is just an individual that loves the Emes and loves the truth, and he knows that his perception of truth is of in this existence is limited, and whatever he has and the chachma that he has as a base, as a foundation in this existence, he's going to be able to expand and really have a true knowledge of the truth. His love for the truth is going to give him that desire to move on to the next stage of his existence, where this ability to perceive the truth is going to be enhanced and be enhanced manyfold. That's the answer that I would get. That's why a person would have a desire for Olam Haba. That's what he seems to say. The question is, why does the person want Olam Haba? Is he looking forward to the experience of Olam Haba? Then we have a problem, because you could say that as much as a person experienced the enjoyment of knowledge in this world, that kind of thing does not exist, and that's not even a dimyon for Olam Haba. I mean, enjoying uncovering the sugya and the ideas, as great as an enjoyment that is, you cannot compare that. Olam Haba is different, because that's still based in rooted in a biological source. It may be more removed, it's in the psyche, but there's no dimyon. I mean, the Rama makes this clear. So that's why no Novi ever gave a dimyon. He said, more Rav Tuvcha. That's all he could say about it. More. Okay? So therefore, to say that a person is looking forward to Olam Haba because they want the experience of enjoying the truth, that you can't say, because that would be like saying you have a desire for something that you have absolutely, I don't think it's possible for a desire to attach itself to an unknown. I mean, I just don't think so. So therefore, what I suggested was, the question is why a person wants Olam Haba legitimately is simply because the person loves the truth. I mean, Einstein, when he was dying, he had the 10 minutes to live, he was writing equations. His interest was in uncovering the ideas of the universe. So you could see a person like this, if he knew that he can continue this kind of a thing in another existence after he dies, I mean, he would have a desire to go there, because he wants to know the truth. Okay? This much you know. In other words, if a person has a desire for the truth, and that's what's overpowering his nature is overpowered by that desire, so he's going to be drawn to anywheres where the truth is. So therefore, he'll be drawn to Olam Haba. You understand? Exactly, he's not being drawn to the pleasure. The attraction to truth is drawing him there. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying in Perek Chi. okay, in Parashi, that Kadesh Niske L'chaya Olam Haba, which means to say that he's, and like he says over here, he does the MS, Midneshi Hu MS V'sof HaTov Olav B'Glava. But the but the thing is, well, what's motivating him is the emes. He has a love and a desire for the emes. He's not interested. Sofa tova lova. He said that's not his. He knows that that's true. He knows that the truth will give the person the greatest benefits. He knows that, but that's not why he's doing it. He's doing it because he's steeped in pursuing the truth. That's what the Rambam says. So so that I understand. I can understand. I would say that a person is searching for the truth. And they know that in the next existence they'll be able to really pursue the truth to the highest degree. So the love of truth would ipso facto be the love of Olam Haba. Okay, he loves the truth, and over there he can pursue the truth that he so he'll be drawn there. Okay, but the Rambam, I don't believe that's what the Rambam is saying over here, because he says v'chama kama David, he says v'hisaver l'chayei Olam Haba. It means he was actually looking forward to the experience of Olam Haba. The experience, not just because of a desire of the truth, but the experience, that's what the Rambam is saying, experience itself. And that's why the Rambam has it over here in Perek Ches, because Perek Ches is talking about the experience of Olam Haba. That's what he's talking about. That's what Perek Ches is. In Perek Tes and Perek Yud, he's talking about the love of truth. It's two different aspects, two different things. Perek Tes, Perek Yud is one thing, Perek Ches something else. Perek Ches is talking about the experience. You see how he goes on further? He says, Kvar Dino Chachomim Arishonim Shetovas Olam Haba Inkoch Badam Lasigo Burio Ben Yudei Godlo V'Yofsho V'Atzmo El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levado V'Shekol HaTovash Mesnirin Shenavim Mesnabim Bohem V'Yisrael Enim El Dvorin Shebeguf Shenenem El Mas Mashiach Aval Tovash Chayim Olam Haba Ein La'erech Again V'Dimyon V'Lo Dimua Anavim Kadesh Lo Yifchasu Oso B'Dimyon. So any dimyon you're going to do is going to be a degradation. Okay, it's a degradation. That's the problem with the dimyon. The problem with the dimyon now is not true, but it's degrading. Okay? So there, so you see what the Rambam is saying in Halacha Zion, basically. He's talking about the experience, the tovas Olam Haba. He's not talking about a person that's searching for the truth, and therefore their search will, the desire for the truth is going to bring into mind that this idea will become clear to me, and Olam Haba, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the clarification of this problem. I have a problem I can't resolve over here. I see it's too abstract. My mind can't focus on it properly. And he knows that there's a place where he's going to be able to resolve it. And his search for truth draws him, gives him a desire to be in that situation where he'll be able to gain this knowledge. Okay, that would seem to be a natural way to explain why a person would desire Olam Haba. But the Rambam, I don't believe, is saying that, especially use the word this ave l'chaye Olam Haba. You see, this ave l'chaye Olam Haba, shenema lulei hamanti l'ros b'tuvat Hashem. And lulei hamanti l'ros b'tuvat Hashem is also, if you look at the context of the psukim that we said last time, it means to say that the person is saying that lulei hamanti l'ros b'tuvat Hashem, if I didn't have that, I'd be forlorn. Okay? I wouldn't be able to really exist in a happy state. But that's what gets me through life. The fact that I know there's a Tuv Hashem, Beretz Chaim, that helps me make it through life. Okay? Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to be happy about this existence. Okay? So there, you see, from the context of the Psukim and from the Lashon of Rambam, he's talking about a desire to have that kind of existence. The benefits, the good of that existence he's looking for. Not simply the activity and the objective of pursuing truth. Okay? So that's my question. I don't know why the Rambam took this approach. Like I said, we could have taken a simpler approach. That he's just looking for the truth. Problem's not a problem. Yes. Or a man is mentioning is correct. That lule saras kshiyashui azavadati ba'ani means I'd be dead. Basically, I'd be gone. Over here he says, "Lulei hamanti l'ros b'tuvat Hashem b'aretz Chaim." He doesn't say "azavarti," because he's just saying that it would not the existence. It would be very difficult to make it through this existence. But it does not mean that he'd be nevad, because he still has Torah and he still has a good life, and you can't say that it's not a tragedy. It wouldn't be a total tragedy, but it would be very difficult to make it through. It doesn't apply. The fact that the two psukim are different doesn't apply this, and it fits into the framework of what we're saying here. Yes, it's correct. That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with the basic pshat. The basic pshat is, right, let me go back to the psukim and let me see. Maybe we're saying the same thing. See, in other words, like this. I think what he's saying here is, Hareini Hashem Darkecha Unecheni Baruch Mishor Laman Sharoi. Very strange pasuk. Hareini Hashem Darkecha Unecheni Baruch Mishor Laman Sharoi because of my enemies. What is it? But it means to say like this. He means to say that the enemies are really the people that are trying to destroy him simply because of what he is. And you can't escape reality, and that's the way it is. And he's looking, it means like this. It means that that is the greatest and most difficult thing to overcome. Like we said last time, like the enemy, what happens is that the enemy drags the person into a framework of reality that's based on human beings. And that is a very difficult thing to escape. If somebody's out there trying to get you, then you want to get them, and you get involved in a conflict. Your emotions get drawn into this conflict. But the truth of the matter is that the correct way to perceive it, as we mentioned last time, is simply there's a sea of events, and these people are just part of that sea of events, and simply you have to act in accordance. It's just like anything else that God, any other struggle that God places a person in. But with the enemy, it's very difficult. It's a very hard thing to get out of that emotional human conflict, you see, and it's something that drags a person down. So he says, "Hareini Hashem Darkecha Unecheni Baruch Mishor Laman Sharoi," means that's the most difficult situation. When somebody's out to destroy you, for a person to be impersonal about it, you see, that really requires "Hareini Hashem Darkecha Unecheni Baruch Mishor," you see. And it's something. That's what it means. Also, when you say in what do you call it in Hallel, there's a pasuk. The pasuk in Hallel says, "Hashem li lo ira mayase li Adam." That's exactly what it means. Because Adam doesn't do anything to you. Okay, Hashem li. But it's Hashem li ba'ozroi. It's a good pshat. Hashem li ba'ozroi means. What does it mean? Many pshatim. Hashem li ba'ozroi means Hashem li ba'ozroi. Those who help me, it's not them that are helping me. It's really Hashem. Just another phenomenon, and they are simply an instrument of God's assistance. Hashem li ba'ozroi. Vani erev asanoi. So it means to say that's the greatest struggle for man, to be able to deal with human conflict in a non-human way, an impersonal way. That's Hareini Hashem Darkecha Unecheni Baruch Mishor Laman Sharoi. Al Tetneini B'Nefesh Sarai Ki Kamu V'Yedei Sheker V'Tei Chamas. But he says, Lulei Hamanti Liros. But the fact is, it's a struggle. It's a tremendous struggle. And it's a struggle of the Bechira. And what he's saying is that this kind of a struggle, because a person really never fully overcomes the Yetzer Hara. I mean, the Yetzer Hara is always something. I mean, something's always there, you see. That's why it says that's what I mentioned last time. It says, Mikol Megurosa Yitzilani. That God saved me from all my fears. Because the person, certain fears that the person can't overcome. Yira Yaakov Mova Yetzelah. Yetzelah, I mean, he was totally distraught, you see. So certain fears a person has, and therefore he's allowed to be mispalled to God that he should not, God should protect him from falling into those fearful situations, even though the fear is unjustified. It says, Mekol Megurosa Yitzilani. He saved me from all those things that I fear. So it means to say, what he was saying is that he looked forward to an existence. He looked forward to an existence that was singular. You see, non-conflicted. He was looking forward to such a kind of existence. So it means to say that the struggle, it's an interesting thing, that the struggle that a person has in this existence because of his bechira, because of his koach bechira, you see, because of his koach bechira, nevertheless must cause him to desire a state in which there is no more koach bechira, and in which he has a true good. Because as long as you have the koach bechira, okay, it means to say that you're involved. If there were no Olam Haba, it would mean if a person lived forever on this earth, it would mean to say that the struggle would always go on. He'd never have a singular kind of existence. He would have a conflicted existence for all eternity. It would be the worst thing. So it would be the worst thing for man. That's like the Rambam says, that whatever fools desire is usually the worst and most harmful thing. Most people would like to live physically forever, but the truth of the matter is that would be really a death sentence, because it would mean that the person's existence is forever going to be involved in conflict and in a struggle. Arani Hashem Darkecho and Achenim Baruch Misha Lamancha is always going to have the struggle. So therefore, a person who's a Baal Seichel must realize this and must look forward to an existence where the Bechira, the person has functioned properly according to the Bechira, and the Bechira, the stage of the Bechira is over, and now he enters a new kind of existence where there is no struggle, you see, there is no struggle, and the existence is really pure Tov. That's what I think the pasuk is saying. Kvachama koma David lulei amanti liros al tetneni b'nefesh saroi ki kamo v'yedei sheker v'feach chomas lulei amanti liros b'tuvat Hashem Eretz Chaim. I would not be able to value my existence. But I know that the days of my bechira will be over, and the days of the struggle will be over. And because I exercise my Bechira properly, I will enter an existence in which the conflict does not exist anymore. So really, that's what he was desirous of. See, and that you could have a desire for, even though you don't know what Olam Haba is. You don't know what it is. But still, a person can have a desire because it's based upon Seichel, An understanding of life. That's another reason. That's why the Torah never talks about Olam Haba, because the whole Torah is really for the struggle in this existence. That's the whole purpose. The Torah is talking about the struggle of the Bechira. That's really what the Chamisha Chumshi Torah are about. So therefore, it does not talk about Olam Haba. But the Nevi'im talk about it, because the Nevi'im are telling you the philosophy and the understanding of the benefit of the struggle is not simply over here. It's true, it has tremendous benefits over here and is the best possible form of human existence. Nevertheless, a chacham is not happy with a comparative. So let's say he lives much better than the fellow next door. What does the fellow next door have to do with it? Question is, objectively, is it really a worthwhile existence? So that's what it means, that David HaMelech is looking forward to, or any Hashem Lakecha and Echeni Melech Mishar, that's all wonderful, it's all nice, and he appreciates the Chazdei Hashem, that God really worked out his situation so that the Ashgacha put him into situations where he saw more insight, gained more knowledge of himself, gained more knowledge of Chachmas HaTorah, and he's thankful and appreciative. And he even asks for more, but he still recognizes that existence is intrinsically deficient, because it's an existence where the Bechira and the struggles involved, and is looking forward to a time when he can have a singular existence. See, that's really that's what Ron says. That's for Chama Kama David. And why is it Chama Kama David? Because the truth of the matter is that a person that is a great person has great struggles. That's the way it is. A person who's not such a great person doesn't really exercise the bechira that often. Because, like we said, a person can live their whole life and hardly exercise bechira. Because they fit into a certain mold, and the years go by, and they just have a certain MO, so to speak, and that's it. I mean, so there's no bechira going on. But a person who is advancing, and the advancing really has a lot to do with the particulars that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places in every individual's life. I mean, that's very much responsible for the individual. That's the whole idea of Olam HaZeh, you see. And those particulars cause each individual to advance and to face certain difficulties and struggles and emerge in the proper manner. But a person like David HaMelech was a person who had tremendous struggles throughout his life. So he was an individual who exercised his bechira to a tremendous degree, a very, very high degree, much higher degree than we can even, conceive of. Of course, he was on a different plane, of human being, Mashiach Hashem. So therefore, he struggled a lot, and he was looking forward to the time when the struggle is over, and he has a singular existence. That's the Pshat Nefzal. That's for Chama Kama Dali. In other words, the bechira depends on the particulars of life. If a person is hashgacha, a person is fortunate that is in a theoretical plane. In a theoretical plane, you could say that the purpose of bechira is really to bring an end to the process. That's in a theoretical plane. Why? Because once the person is bochur b'tov, and he makes that ultimate move, then, they're in a state where there is no more bechira. But the thing that undoes that is they would stay in a certain plane. They would stay in a certain plane if the circumstances stayed the same. You see? Yeah, but circumstance brings them to different... The different challenges, different situations, where the bechira starts has to be reestablished, and that's what the. Okay. Who's the fourth one? Was it Pinchas? Yeah. But who's the fourth? Gemara says in Shabbos the name of Beis Abor Mesu Beitio Shel Nachash. Elohim ben Yamin ben Yaakov, Amram avi Moshe, Yishe avi David, the Kolev ben David. Okay? Okay. But what does it mean that these, does it mean that they were the greatest human beings? No. They weren't greater. Moshe ben was greater. But the reason is that happens to be tolui, that depends upon Hashgachas Hashem. In other words, a person can find a situation where they're in on an uneven keel, and they've exercised their bechira insofar as that situation is concerned, and then they're in a perfect state insofar as humanly possible, and they just stay in that even keel, keep moving, and no avera, it's possible that certain individuals, certain human beings had that situation. So there were four, the Gemara says. But of course, for the rest of the world, it doesn't work that way. So it doesn't mean that they were greater, because we don't say, that's la'avdol gayim. Gayim, everything is sin. You're a sinner, you're not a sinner. By us, it's not such a simple thing, not such a pasha thing. They don't have any avera, but it doesn't necessarily mean they reached the heights of other people who had averas, but they had challenges, and the bechira was involved in a certain way where they reached unbelievable heights in exercising their bechira to the highest degree. That's a different kind of a question. You understand? It's a different kind of a thing. It's two different questions. Sure, it's wonderful. I mean, the greatest tzaddikim had no avera. Unbelievable. But it doesn't necessarily mean that these were the greatest people. It was the Dov with Mashiach Hashem, not Yishai. So the thing is that the circumstances in an individual's life play a role in forcing a person into new situations of Bechira. In other words, the Bechira brings out your potential. But if you would never reach a point where you'd bring out your potential and then have a singular kind of existence as non-conflicted, it wouldn't make any sense. The whole existence would not make any sense.
But
because something is good at a certain time doesn't mean that it's good endlessly. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying. You see, you have to have a broad picture of what everything is and what the function of every, the role of every experience is. There's a role of Bechira, there's a time for Bechira. Okay? That's correct. That's correct. That's right. Therapy is good to cure yourself, but endless therapy, that's today's therapy, endless therapy. Endless therapy is no good. Something wrong. Rashton's the Lulia Montalus and Moshe Manti Bakarish Borhu. It means to say, what he means to say, Rashi means different shot. Another interesting shot. What Rashi means to say is that the person that is most successful in battle is the person that is more perfected. In other words, the best fighter is the more perfected person. So usually in the world it doesn't work that way. Usually the Rishayim are the best fighters. Why? Because they're very aggressive. And the good people are like placid and passive. So usually the one that wins is the Rasha. See, that's how it really works out. But what Rashi's saying over here is a different shot. And on the contrary, that the tzaddik is really the strongest guy. Why? Because why does a person lose the struggle? He loses the struggle, not the internal struggle, struggle with the enemy. Why does he lose it? He loses it because of the fact that he gets involved in the personal. So therefore, he gets wearied from the personal, from the stress of the battle, and he loses, or he does something stupid because it really is most advantageous for the person to view the enemy in an impersonal way. He has his chance of success. You see, are multiplied tenfold because the moment he falls into the trap of the personal, now he's not going to be rational, and also he's going to be exhausted from the struggle, and he's going to lose. And the Dovah Melech said by Goliath. When Goliath said, Goliath got angry, he said, I'll give your flesh to the Behemoth HaSada. So Dovah Melech said, no, he's in my hands, because behemoths don't eat flesh. So you see, he's losing his mind. In other words, he's operating on the personal now. So he's going to lose. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Lulei Amanti, in Loshe Amantu Kadosh Baruch Hu, Komu Bi Osa Medei Shekha V'chiloni. They destroyed me. So if it would have been a personal struggle, then it would have been destroyed. So he says, but he says, Lulei Nakur Alav. He says another pshat, Lemidrash, because the way it's written is also to Darshan. Shadosh Rabbasin, Yodea Ani Shata Nosein Schala Tzadikim Lolam Abba. Aval Eini Yodea Im Yeshli Chelko Imoyim Imlav. That's an amazing pshat. I don't understand that. But that's Rashi. Rashi is Chazal. That it means he was saying that Lulei Amanti means I don't really. I know that this scharfet said, "You can know my boss." Exactly the opposite of Rama. Rashi's chat over there, the Medrash that the Chazal is mentioning, is exactly the opposite, really, of what the Rama is saying. He's saying he doesn't know. It's a different idea. It doesn't. I mean, that Chazal has to be understood somehow because it doesn't make sense that Dovid HaMelech. That Dovid HaMelech, in simple terms, didn't know that he's a Ben Olam Abba. It does not make any sense. Because he said, I can't shamrini kill kichasin on it. And constantly, the Gemara brings conflict. But Rashi tells them, you know, the Gemara answers the question. Because shamrini kill kichasin on it. So he knew it was a chasin. And she also, titin chasid cholera shachas, titin chasid cholera shachas. But what the Gemara means is, the Gemara says it means Shema Yigamachet. It means he knew he was a Ben Olam Abba based upon his present state. But he also knew that it's possible for a person, no matter how big a tzaddik he is, that some situation can arise that can cause him to completely go off the track, like Acha. It's possible that something like that can happen. Okay? So it means to say that as much. That's what Chazal say. Chazal say that a person Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. It means, what is it, Mefachei Tamid? It means from Chait. So that's a good thing.
I know that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's Gemara, yeah, okay. But anyway,
But it means to say that no matter how much a person knows that he's a Ben Olam.